Today, Sharaji will continue to explain Khanika Samadhi and Vipassana Samadhi. By being mindful at the moment of arising, one comes to know mind and matter, and one discerns that these nama rupa are arising as cause and effect. The effect takes place if there is the cause, and it is not causeless. And relevant cause gives rise to relevant effect. If there is the intention to sit, sitting takes place. If there is the intention to stand up, standing up takes place. And Saraji had explained where the consciousness is the cause and the rupa, materiality, is the effect. And there are instances where the consciousness cause is giving rise to consciousness effect, rupa cause giving rise to the nama effect, and Saraji will continue to explain from both theoretical and practical aspects. The nama cause giving rise to nama effect is obvious when there are various objects arising at the same time. There are things to be seen, to be heard, to be smelled, to be tasted, to be touched, and to be known. And these six sense objects arising at the same time, then the nama cause giving rise to nama effect is obvious. Saraji explains the example of a party. If there is a party with entertainment, then there are things to be seen, like dancing, and there is also music, songs, and because it is a party, it has fragrance, and also there are good food, good flavor to be eaten, and also one wears soft clothes on one's body, and when one sits down, one sits on very comfortable, luxurious seat. And also there can be things that come across in one's mind. So all these six objects are arising at the same time, and the mind goes to one of these six objects. So there are two factors that makes the mind take the object. The first one is visaya dimatta, meaning the mind takes the object that is most prominent. In other way, the mind takes the object that attracts the mind most. And the second factor is abhujita, one's attention. It is also connected with one's attention. So based on these two factors, the mind falls on the object. So when the person is in that party, the person sits and enjoys these objects. When the visible object is prominent, the mind goes onto the visible object, and there will be seeing consciousness. When there is seeing consciousness, one's attention does not go to hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or knowing. The consciousness takes a single object and the mind goes onto the object that attracts the mind. And if the mind goes onto, if the attention goes onto the sound, there will be hearing consciousness. If the attention goes onto the smell that is prominent, there will be smelling consciousness. And when eating, when paying attention on eating, there will be tasting consciousness. And when eating, when a flavor is very prominent, such as spicy, hot flavor or sweet flavor, then the attention goes onto the flavor and there will be tasting consciousness. According to Visaya Dimatta, according to where the object is most prominent, the attention goes onto the object and one develops such as seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. And when one is touching a very soft clothes, there will be touching consciousness. And when sitting on a very comfortable sofa, then one feels comfortable with the touching consciousness. But if the person has been sitting for a long time, there will be discomfort and so on. And the mind also goes on to thinking, and there will be knowing consciousness. And when there is knowing consciousness, one's attention doesn't go to other visible objects or the sounds. And at times, one's attention is on the thoughts, and the person is carried away by the thoughts. And Saraji says, usually, in the countries where the technology is advanced, most of the people are carried away in the current of thoughts. Visaya Dimatta, according to which object is most prominent, and also according to one's attention, and what the person likes, the mind is attracted to these objects. When the attention goes onto the visible object, there will be seeing consciousness. When the attention goes to the sound, there will be hearing consciousness. So it also depends on one's attention. So in the body, there are all six of these sensual objects. And when these objects attract the mind, and also according to one's likes, the attention goes onto one of these objects, and seeing consciousness arises, hearing consciousness arises, and so on. Saraji explains where the nama cause is giving rise to nama effect. In the practice, when doing sitting meditation, one is noting the primary object, rising and falling of the abdomen. And one may also be noting the four objects, rising, falling, sitting, and touching. In order to note the primary object, concurrently, yogi asserts aim and effort in the practice so that the mind is sustained on the object. And mindfulness is continuous one after another. And samadhi, concentration, gains momentum. When samadhi, concentration, gains momentum, at times the mind continuously fall on the primary object for 1 minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes. As there is manasikara, the attention, the mind falls on the primary object. So the attention keeps the mind applied on the object so that the mind is not directed onto other things. Due to manasikara, the noting mind falls on the primary object. And in this case, manasikara, the attention, is the cause, which is nama. The noting mind that discerns rising, falling, is the effect, which is nama. So this example is where the nama cause, manasikara, is giving rise to nama effect. The manasikara, attention, applies the mind so that the mind gets the new object. Manasikara, attention, is like the rudder of a ship or a boat. So when there is manasikara, attention, on the primary object, the noting mind keeps on noting the primary object. And while noting the primary object, rising and falling of the abdomen, at times when a sharp sound arises, the sound distracts the mind away from noting rising, falling. So the mind is distracted from noting rising, falling, and hearing consciousness takes place. So just like the rudder of the boat turns here and there, in the same way, the attention also goes onto new and new objects when the objects are prominent and one comes to know these new objects that are prominent. At times, discomfort in the body arises where one feels piercing itchiness. When piercing itchiness arises, the mind is distracted from noting the primary object and goes on to the new object as there is the piercing itchiness arising. So the attention goes to the piercing itchiness, and it is obvious, and the person notes the new object. And again, if another new object arises that is more prominent, the manasikara, attention, goes on to the other new object. As the yogi is noting the piercing itchiness, yogi discerns hardness, the itchiness, and as the itchiness go from one place to another, the attention also jumps from one to the other. Noting the piercing itchiness, at times one discerns the Patavi Dhatu, earth element, which is excessive, manifesting as piercing. And at times one discerns the excessive heat, or at times one discerns the excessive coolness and stiffness, tension, movement. So while noting the primary object, when other object arises that are more prominent, the mind is distracted onto the new object. The attention jumps onto the new object that is more obvious, and also the noting mind notes the new object that is obvious. So in this case, it is the nama cause, which is manasikara, giving rise to nama effect. When kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strengthened, one discerns the unique individual characteristic, sabhava lakkhana, and the common characteristics, samanya lakkhana, very clearly, and one discerns very sharply, clearly, as the kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strengthened. So as the kanika samadhi becomes strengthened, kanika samadhi here is the cause, which is nama, which gives rise to knowledge that is very sharp and clear-cut. And when kanika samadhi is strong, one can note the presently arising object without missing, without failing. The noting mind is direct with the object, and the noting mind falls sustained on the object without missing, without failing. And kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, is strengthened. When the yogi becomes skillful in the practice, yogi can note without missing, without failing. Knowledge becomes very firm and wide. When the yogi is noting the object, yogi comes to know many things. Even though the yogi is noting one object, but yogi comes to know many things. Noting rising, one discerns that there are many stages and layers of rising. Noting falling, yogi also comes to know many layers of falling. And when noting heat, yogi sees that there are one heat after another. So in this way, noting the object, yogi comes to discern distinctly, one by one, and knowledge becomes very wide and strong. It is because one is noting the object with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness. And as there is sustained mindfulness, without missing, without failing, knowledge becomes very strong and wide. So this is the example where sati, mindfulness, is the cause giving rise to knowledge that is strong and wide, which is the effect. Noting every arising object, the samadhi concentration falls on the object, and knowledge becomes very strong and sharp. If sati, mindfulness, is not strong, then one does not discern in a firm and wide manner. Saraji gives an example of shooting arrows in order to hit the bullseye. If the arrow is not strong, if the arrow is soft, the arrow does not pierce into the bullseye, but the arrow will fall. Even though the arrow is sharp, but if the arrow is not strong, then the arrow will not pierce into the bullseye, and it will fall on the ground. The arrow must be sharp, and it should also be strong, so that the arrow pierces into the bullseye. So the example here, sharpness is the samadhi concentration. The strength, being strong, is sati, mindfulness. So yogi should not be noting in the way like the weak arrow not piercing into the bullseye, falling onto the ground. So when noting the object, yogi should have the mindfulness sustained on the object so that knowledge will be strong. So noting the object, even though the yogi is noting one object, he, she comes to know many things. When knowledge becomes strong and wide, yogi can note even the minute objects. Rather than continuing to note every arising object, thoughts can arise in the mind, such as, I can even note even the small things, and the yogi takes pride in his or her practice. And when yogi experiences good experiences, yogi can feel the subtle form, subtle or refined form of attachment on these good experiences. So when either these conceit or refined form of attachment getting in during the practice, then the mind becomes slimy. And Saraji gives an example. If the sediments in the water settle down, the water is clear. But if that water is shaken or perturbed, the sediment surfaces and the water is no longer clear. So in the same way, noting continuously on the object, the mind is clear away from the defilements. But as the yogi is thinking, I can even note even the small things, taking pride in it, that will be conceit. And if the yogi has minor, refined form of attachment on good experiences, there will also be craving. And such kind of conceit and craving can make the mind slimy, just like when the sediment resurfaces, the water is no longer clear. Due to sadha, faith and confidence, the mind is clear. So this is the example where sadha, faith and confidence is the cause. The knowledge becoming very clear and active, it is the effect. And the knowledge will be clear and active. if there are no sediments of conceit or craving. For the ones who are having a lot of uncertainty and thoughts, their knowing will not be clear. If the yogi is thinking what it is, why is it, how is it, rather than noting the presently arising object, his or her mind will not be clear. It will be muddy. So, if the thinking are getting in, then the mind will be muddy as the sediment of these defilements are resurfacing and they overwhelm the mind and they think that knowledge arises by thinking and reflecting. Yogi may be developing knowledge at first, but if the yogi cannot understand cause and effect, if it is beyond the yogi's understanding, then there can be uncertainty and doubt. So, when there is uncertainty and doubt, knowledge will not arise. The doubt can disguise like knowledge. And for those who are thinking a lot, thinking, reflecting on things which are beyond their knowledge, then such kind of uncertainty can lead to confusion. And they may be spending the whole retreat wasting their time with thinking, and they will not be making progress, but the mind will become muddy with uncertainty and doubt. So in order to dispel, one needs to apply the jhanic factors, vitakka and vichara. One should aim one's noting mind onto the object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, every single second. And when the mind is aimed onto the object and asserting effort, the noting mind hits the object, the noting mind rubs against the object, and one discerns stiffness, tension, movement when the noting mind rubs onto the rising of the abdomen. When the noting mind rubs onto the abdomen, there will be certainty, and one removes vijikeca, doubt. So if the mind is free from doubt continuously, then the mind will not be muddy, the mind will be clear, and also the knowledge will be clear and active. When one feels the water that is clear, the water is very active. In the same way, when the mind is clear, the knowledge is also clear and active. Due to the sadha, faith and confidence, knowledge will be very clear and active. But yogi should keep on noting continuously in whatever posture one is in, walking, standing, sitting, lying, bending, stretching, turning, lifting, moving, placing. And yogis should be continuously mindful apart from their sleeping hours, so that the mindfulness will be continuous and the defilements cannot arise. Having mindfulness continuous, when the defilements do not arise, the mind will be clear and knowledge will also be clear. But if the yogi practices for some time, take rest in between, gazing, daydreaming, and thinking, such kind of yogi, when they encounter difficulties, they will be cowardly, not being able to face it. So, if the person is cowardly, not wanting to face the difficulty, then the person flinches away and he, she cannot overcome the difficulty. One should be courageous to overcome these difficulties. One should have the courageous effort, the courage to refrain from things that should be refrained from, the courage to refrain from unwholesomeness, and the courage to perform things that are wholesome. So one should note courageously, not missing, not failing to note anything. And when the noting is continuous, noting every object with courage, one can overcome difficulties. And one will also make progress in the practice. One will be progressing from one knowledge to another, and one discerns nama rupa, cause and effect, and one progresses stage by stage. So this is because the yogi practices with courage that he, she is overcoming the difficulties with courage and the person progresses. But if the yogi is cowardly, flinching away from the practice, then he, she will not be making any progress. So one should have courage to overcome the difficulties in order to progress in the practice. And one discerns the true nature very clearly, distinctly, and very firmly. So in order to have the knowledge that is strong, clear, and active, one needs the supporting factors of viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. Without the support of viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, knowledge will not be strong and wide, knowledge cannot be clear and active, and knowledge will not progress. So in order to develop knowledge that is strong and wide, clear and active, and progress, one needs the supporting factors of viriya, sati, and samadhi. So this is the example where the nama cause is giving rise to nama effect in the practice. So what Sharaji has explained about the nama cause giving rise to nama effect, if one thinks in an ordinary way, he, she may think that it is not possible. What Sharaji has explained is not based on the impossible, but the explanation that Sharaji did is based on what is possible. And in order to understand it, through one's practice, one should practice diligently according to the guidance given. Practicing diligently according to the guidance given, one will discern how the nama cause giving rise to nama effect in a more detailed way. So it is the yogi's duty to practice respectfully, diligently, meticulously, and knowledge will arise by noting, practicing diligently according to the guidance given. And Saraji mentions the saying, the practice makes perfect. So yogis should keep on practicing so that they will understand from their own experience very deeply how nama cause is giving rise to nama effect. And if they practice diligently, they will come to understand the things that Saraji has not explained. So Saraji would like to encourage all the yogis to practice diligently according to the guidance given. And today Saraji explains the nama cause giving rise to nama effect from both theoretical and practical aspects. And tomorrow, Saraji will explain how the rupa cause is giving rise to nama effect and how rupa cause is giving rise to rupa effect. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.